Let's all please unite our hearts together in prayer as we seek the Lord today, as we ask God's blessing and the Lord's help in our midst. Let's all pray. Our eternal God and gracious Father, we thank thee today for the privilege that thou hast granted unto us of assembling in this house the living to praise thee and to worship thee and here to proclaim the name of the Lord and to hallow that holy name. We thank thee for these opening words of Psalm 27 and this lovely opening hymn. We thank that we can say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." We rejoice today for the experience of the light of Christ in our heart by the Spirit of God. And Lord, we pray that thou will give to us more light today upon the old sacred page, that God the Holy Spirit will take away the veil and reveal to us something again of the wonder and the glory of the Lord Jesus himself. We thank that when he draws near, the darkness is dispelled. And I pray that Christ will draw near today and that the darkness will be dispelled and that the light might shine into our hearts and into our lives. We thank thee for every head bowed. We thank thee for every home that's represented. And Lord, we cry to thee, even as we thought of this morning, that thou will pour out of thy Spirit not only upon our seed, but upon our offspring. We pray for the Spirit of God to come and to move, Lord, mightily in our midst. We know that salvation is all of God. From beginning to ending, it's all of God. And we just cry today that thou wilt so work in some unconverted heart within the building or even listening in to the service within the building, and that they might be brought to saving faith in God's own dear Son. Oh, we beseech thee, we cry to thee that thou wilt breathe the Holy Spirit upon us and that thou wilt grant unto us tokens of good and the Lord's grace and presence in our gathering once again today. We ask, dear Father, that thou wilt remember those who can't be here. We pray for them. We pray for those who are self-isolating at home. We pray for those that are sick and laid aside. We pray today for the sorrowing, and we lift them up before the Lord in prayer. And we ask that thou, the Lord, will be with them and that thou will comfort them in a very special way. So incline thine ear unto our cry today. We ask that thou wilt not disregard our petitions, but in heaven, in thy dwelling place, that thou wilt hear these cries of your children today and come and shine the light of the presence of Christ upon us. We ask this all in his name, giving thanks. Amen. Amen. Now turn with me today, please, for reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're continuing our series in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to read again that second section that we commenced last Lord's Day, just a short portion of Scripture truth. So we're reading together from verse 13 to verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5. So with the Word of God open before us, let's hear what God has to say to us from his truth. Matthew chapter 5 verse 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen. We'll end here reading at verse 16. Now we're going to come to prayer once again. And we want to remember these prayer requests before the Lord that we've been praying about. And we bring before the Lord once again those not just on the home front but on the foreign field as well. And we heard just in the past week that in Uganda, Uganda is in lockdown once again and will be shut down to mid-late July. So that means all of the folk in the Emmanuel Christian School have been sent back home again. So all of the children that come in, all of the teachers that come in, and remember that's all boarding, they've all had to go back home, which is such a huge disruption in all of their lives. To add to that, our brother Andy Foster has contracted typhoid. And pray for Andy. He's on a course of medication for that, and pray the Lord will grant him healing and the Lord will raise him back up to health and strength again. Our sister Miss McAfee is actually at home here in Northern Ireland at the present time, so pray for her that the Lord will give wisdom and help and grace, even as she would seek the face of God, even about going back again to Uganda, what the will of the Lord would be in that matter. So remember Uganda, please, in your prayers and all of the great needs that are out there, and lift it up before the Lord once again. There are other areas that we've been praying about, and they're outlined in our WhatsApp group in the prayer list that I put up there. You print out that prayer list and put it in the back of your Bible, make it part of your daily devotional prayer time, and bring it before the Lord day and daily, divide it up as it has been done on the list. And we're remembering too, not only our missionaries, but also our ministers at home here and others who have been laid aside, and we want to continually remember them in prayer before God. So before we come to the text of Scripture today, let's stand again to change your position as we pray and as we seek the face of God. You should be hearing me in stereo today with these two speakers. If it's not loud enough, just put your hand up and wave at David there. He's in control of it, not me. So you can tell him. There's no use telling me. Just wave down at David there and he'll be able to understand what you're saying to him. So let's please stand just to change your position, please. Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we thank thee for the privilege of bringing to God in prayer these specific prayer requests that are on our prayer list. We do remember again those dear servants of thine who would love to be in the pulpit ministry today, but who are once again taken out because of sickness. We lift them up to thee. We pray for them. We pray that thou wilt remember them in thy grace. Visit them in their own homes today. Remember all who are going through treatment. Touch them and bless the treatment that they are receiving. We commend and commit them to thee. Remember, we ask our brother Dr. Wilson, Reverend Fitzsimons, Reverend Ferguson, remember brother Abraham, remember we ask of thee our sister, Mrs. Maxwell, remember her sister, Mrs. Morrow. Lord, we commit these dear ones lovingly to thee. I think of Stephen Brown in Dunmurry. Lord, we lift them to thee in prayer. Think of our brother David Cousins again in our Mourn congregation. Continue to mend David and build him up to his health and strength again, and back into that role that you gave to him last year as being an elder in the church and in the congregation there. Lord, we remember today those that, not just on the home front, but on the foreign field, I lift up before thee today, especially Uganda. Lord, I pray for that land that has suffered so much because of COVID-19. Not just the sickness, Lord, that has befallen the land, but also the economic hardship that has destroyed many thousands of others. Lord, we cry to thee that thou wilt remember the poor of Uganda, and that thou wilt visit them with the blessing of God. We pray that this virus will be defeated. We ask, Lord, for the protection of the people of God. I pray today for those in the Emmanuel Christian School. I pray you'll bless them and watch over them and put your hand upon them. Remember the boys and girls. Remember the members of staff. Remember the missionary team. We pray for our brother Andy Foster. Put your healing hand upon him and bless the treatment that he's receiving at the present time. And raise him, I ask, to his full health and strength. We commend him and we commit him to thy grace and thy keeping. We remember his wife Hannah's little baby daughter Rachel and watch over them all. Remember our sister Miss McAfee. Lord, give her wisdom. And Lord, give her help and grace and bless her and her family here at home in Northern Ireland. Think of her mum. And I do pray for Mrs. McAfee Senior that you'll bless her and put your hand upon her and encourage her in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're gathering now, Lord, around the Word of God. We realize we need, as never before, the eye salve of God, the Holy Spirit, to understand its message to our hearts today. And I pray as we would delve into its pages that thou, the Lord, will lead us deeper in the things of God. I pray this in Jesus' name and for his great name's sake. Amen. We're turning today once again to Matthew chapter 5. And our text, as you might have gathered, is the words of verse 14. Matthew 5 and verse 14. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Ye are the light of the world. That's an amazing statement that the Lord Jesus made to his disciples all of those years ago. Just a band of really uneducated fishermen from Galilee, and those that gathered to listen to him in that remote part where he preached to them from the mountainside. And he said to them, "You," plural, "ye," in our AV, "are the light of the world." I was thinking in the past week of the boys and girls here in the Sunday school, and on along as you're preparing for the Sunday school a meeting next Sabbath evening, and I was thinking of my own Sunday school, and I would have to confess today it's some 50 years plus from I was at Sunday school. I take encouragement in that I've survived all of those years, and I take encouragement some of you can look back more than 50 years from you were at Sunday school here with us here today. And I was thinking of a hymn that we practice for Children's Day that so just illuminates this text of scripture that we're going to consider together. All of those years ago, way back in Annaclone Presbyterian Church, just outside Banbridge, we were taught this little hymn, and it's in our hymn book, and it was quoted in the prayer meeting here on Wednesday evening. It just came to my mind again. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. What a word. In this world of darkness, so we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. If you take out all of the candles, all of the lights that are burning in the little corners and in the little insignificant places all over the world, what will you put the world into? You'll plunge it into darkness. And if you take out all of the insignificant believers in insignificant places that have never been heard of or spoken of, what will you plunge the world into? You'll plunge it into darkness. The words of that little hymn, I think they just beautifully illustrate this whole text, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to verse 16. Remember the context, the Beatitudes, those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn after their own sinfulness, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are the pure in heart, those who are the peacemakers, those who are the persecuted. How do they show forth that character, that disposition in this world in which we live in? Well, Jesus gives us two simple illustrations here in these verses, from verse 13 to verse 16 in Matthew 5. We looked at one of them last week, We looked at the salt. But now today we're going to look at the light. The salt and the light are the manifestation of the character of those who profess the name of the Lord and manifest the name of the Lord in this world that we live in. Christ taught his disciples individually, and he taught them collectively. He said to them, and it must have seemed amazing to them, "You are the light of the world." They knew their own insignificance. They were peasant people. They were not landed people. They were not gentry. They were not powerful people. They were all the very opposite. And Jesus said to them, "You are the light of the world in which you live in." Now, the light that Jesus had in mind, it wasn't these powerful electric lights we have, or the spotlights you have, or the light that you have on your mobile phone. It was just a little oil lamp. I was reading up about this in the past week. Just a little round lamp. A Herodian lamp that was used in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, into which oil was poured, and it had a spout on it, and that was the flame that lit the darkness of the homes of the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from lighting the darkness, the Lord Jesus was teaching the disciples some of the answers to some of the deepest, most profound questions that you'll ever have to answer. What's your purpose? What's my purpose in life? Have you asked yourself that question in recent days? Could you tell me, what really, Lord, am I here for? What am I here for in Annalong? What am I here for in my home, in my family, in my workplace? Well, Jesus has the answer. And the answer here is given in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 14. He says, "You are the light of the world." Simple. You are the light of the world. Our purpose is simply to shine in the darkness and to be a light for him. And today I'd like to stop and consider with you this great truth here that Jesus taught his disciples, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. We'll look at the explanation of it, the expansion of it in verse 15, 16. And I hope that our meditation upon it will help you to shine for Jesus Christ in the little corner that you live in the little sphere of influence that you have. Let your light shine for Jesus Christ. So firstly, this comparison, it reminds us of deity. It's not a lofty concept. A little lamp you could have held in the palm of your hand. How does that remind us of deity? Well, deity in Scripture is always associated with light. God is spoken of as dwelling in light. We read those tremendous words in 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, 16. We read about God, who is the only blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality. Those are awesome words. And then it expands upon them, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, which no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. God is light, and God dwells in light. No individual has ever seen it. No individual could ever see it, because it is of such a pure nature. You and I could even stand in its presence. God is referred to as the Father of lights, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We all know about the shadows of turning. We all know when the shadows fall, change is going to happen. The night is going to dawn. The daylight is going to disappear. The sunlight is going to be obscured from us by the clouds. But God knows no shadow of turning. I think that's an amazing encouragement to us all today. We must know change. We have to go through change. But God knows no change because God dwells in the purest eternal light. When God sent his Son into the world, Jesus spoke of himself as being light. He said in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. And when we get to heaven, and when we get to Emmanuel's land, we're not going to need light over there. We're not going to need candles. We're not going to need electricity or artificial light. We read in Revelation 21:23, the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. God, who from eternity to eternity is light, has revealed that light to us in the person of his own dear Son. God's people, the Bible tells us, they are infused with this light. The first creative act of God in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 was to create light. Previous to that was all darkness. God had to speak and the light had to be formed. And Paul drew an analogy in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 to 6 with that first creative event. And what's he referring to there? Well, it is that new creation when God, the Holy Spirit, shines the light into souls that are darkened in sin. Let me read you those verses. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. We read about the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil has souls blinded today. The devil has multitudes living in the darkness and dying in the darkness. What a solemn reality to live in the darkness of sin and to die in the darkness of sin. And in this world that we live in, that's exactly what's happening all round about us. And along today, even though it's in the sunshine, and along today is living and dying in spiritual darkness. That's the world that we live in. We read in verse 5 and verse 6 that we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What's regeneration? Well, regeneration simply is God infusing his light into our souls. It is God giving us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we rejoice today in the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That wondrous message of Jesus and his love. That wondrous message of his sacrifice for sin on the cross of Calvary. And I'm glad today in my own heart there was a moment when that light first dawned on my soul. That's the new creation. That's God infusing this soul with his light. God is light. And now God comes with the light of the gospel and he infuses the soul with it. Remember how Nicodemus came to Jesus? He came seeking the way of light, but he came in the dark because he came by night. He not only came in the darkness of the night, but he came in the darkness of his soul. Physically it was true, spiritually it was true, he was in the dark. And that's where the Lord Jesus found us all. He found us in the darkness of sin, with no natural light, spiritually speaking, in and of ourselves. Jesus spoke, if you just go over there for a minute, to John's Gospel chapter 3. John's Gospel chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. Jesus spoke not only of the darkness that Nicodemus was in, but of how men love darkness. We see this in the world in which we live in today. But men love the darkness of sin. We read in verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, Jesus. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men love the darkness of their sin rather than the light of Christ. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Has anything changed? We're still where we were in John 3:19 in 2021. We read verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. We have this wonderful image in our mind. even in missionary circles, missionary meetings, that we have nations and they're just waiting for the light to come. Let me tell you, there's no nation ever waited for the light to come. They all hid from the light. It's God who sends the light. And it's the Spirit of God who infuses dark souls with the light. No man ever sought the Lord in and of himself. He hides in the darkness. And maybe that's exactly where you are today. You're hiding in the darkness of your sin. You're hiding in the darkness of your natural fallen condition. I'll tell you what you need. You need what Nicodemus needed. You needed an infusion of light. What did Jesus say that was in John's Gospel chapter 3? He talked to Nicodemus about being born again. This is the new birth. Nicodemus knew what it was to be born of the flesh. Now Jesus taught him, John's Gospel chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 7, he taught him again, you must be born again. That's from above. And he actually taught that this being born again from above is being born of the Spirit. It is a work of God, the Holy Ghost. It's only as you see the light of the gospel of Christ, and that light, that candle, that flame is ignited by the Holy Ghost in your soul, that you can say you're born again. Being born again is not something you can do. It is something God does in you. God ignites that light in your soul. God infuses your soul with the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me today, has the light yet dawned on your soul? Maybe you can see things that I can't see. Maybe you know lots of things that I don't know. And that really wouldn't put you very far, I have to say. But primarily, has the light of Christ dawned in your soul? That's the big question. That's the all-important question. Those in whom that light has first dawned, they're forever identified with the Lord. We're no longer children of the dark. We're children of the light. That's what we read in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 5. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Why? Because we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's own dear Son. In that great fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, Paul said again, walk as children of light. We're no longer to walk in the dark. We're to walk as children of light. Can you tell me today, can you tell me with assurance that the Lord is your light and your salvation? Can you say today that you're no longer in the darkness of sin? Can you say today that you're a child of light? You're not a child of the night, you're a child of the day. Well, if you are, then heed the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in the light as he is light. What light? The light of his counsel, the light of his word, the light of his presence. I come back again to the scriptures of truth. There's no individual can convince me that they're a child of light and then they neglect and reject the light of God's word. If you're rejecting the light and the counsel of God's word, you're still in the dark. You're still in the dark night of sin. I want you to notice, secondly, the difference that light creates. If we could look at this negatively and then positively. Negatively, it shows how dark the world is without light. We forget, because we live now in an age in which there's so much artificial light, we forget how dark this world really is. I was born and brought up away in the heart of the countryside. We had one light at the corner of the farmhouse in which we lived in. Once at night time you went past that light, and it was probably only some like a 100-watt bulb. Once you went past that light, you were in the dark. There was nothing else. Right down that lane, it was just pitch darkness at night. And as children, we were petrified of that darkness. We didn't like the darkness. The difference that light makes, it shows how dark the world is without the light. People sometimes talk about the innate goodness of man, as if man in his soul has some spark of light within his soul. Let me tell you, man has no spark of light within his soul. The soul of man dwells in darkness. Some people talk as if all men are really quite good, it's just some of them have a tough start. Undoubtedly, some have a tough start. But having a tough start doesn't mean you're in the light. It just means you're still in the darkness with the toughness. The Bible teaches us that the heart of man, the mind of man, the soul of man dwells in darkness. We read in Ephesians 4 and 18 about the blindness of their heart. The emotional part of man is in nature's darkness. We read about the mind in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. We read about the soul in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. This is matched up with Matthew chapter 4, 16 and 17. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into that area, we read the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up in their soul. Jesus was the light. He had come into their lives, and through his teaching, through his ministry, light had sprung up in their soul. We read in John 1, 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Without the light of God in the heart, in the mind, in the soul of man, that individual will live and die in darkness. We think of those who die in darkness, and we often sing about them in heathen darkness. But there's ones in Anna Long, and they're dying in Protestant darkness. They're sitting in church pews today right across our land, and they're dying in the darkness of their sin. These are all sobering truths. Oh, how great is the darkness that blinds the minds of those that believe not. Jesus said in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in the darkness. Those who have believed were no longer in the dark. That's the difference light makes. But the reverse of that is equally true. If you have not believed today, young or old, on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, where are you? Where are you spiritually speaking? You're still dwelling in the darkness. Could we look at this difference that light creates positively? Well, the light reflects. And of course, as Christians, we're meant to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many see Jesus in the light that you reflect? We read in John 8 and 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Christian not only lives in the light, but he diffuses light. He reflects life in this dark world in which we live in. We transmit it as well as receive it. It's good to receive the light. That's the gospel. But we're meant to transmit it. We're meant to show it in the world that we live in. We're salt and then we're light. The salt, the influence of the Christian must be felt before the light is seen. And we learn again from this process that our actions should always speak first before our words. Our actions should always be louder than our words. And sadly, with many who profess the Lord's name, that is not how it oftentimes is. People hear our words before they see our actions, our lack of action. Asking you the question today, do people not see your light? Do people see your light and on alone? A godly Christian will always rebuke the darkness of the society in which we live in. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. That's what a Christian does. A Christian, even by just being in the workplace, a Christian, even by just being in the street, a Christian by just living in the road, a Christian just by being at school or college or university or wherever, that individual, without even doing anything, well, as they live out his or her life, what are they doing? They will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. The child of God who lives for God will always expose lives that are contrary to God. Let me give you an illustration of that. When I was in the civil service many years ago, we had timesheets. And I think that was one of the biggest probably fiddles in the whole of the civil service, people fiddling their timesheet. They said they come in maybe at 7:30 in the morning and they probably come in at 8:30. I always tried to be scrupulous in that timesheet that I kept. And by keeping a correct timesheet, you are, in essence, rebuking those who try to fiddle their employer out of their time. There are other people, and they like to skive off work early. And so they leave early, the office or the factory or the building site, and they don't tell their employer, or they don't tell their boss. And what are they doing? They're stealing from their employer. They're stealing time. They'll expect to be paid for that time. What are they doing? They're spreading darkness instead of light. If you're working honestly and staying to when you're meant to leave, then you are, in essence, rebuking those who dishonestly skive off early and steal time off their employer. We're meant to be a sanctifying influence. That's why the scribes and Pharisees hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did they hate the Lord Jesus Christ? Because his holy life rebuked their double standards. Positively, we can say, light renews, light revives. We used the illustration before. We love to plant those bulbs, and you're meant to put the bulb in the dark place. And sometimes in the past, I put the bulb in the dark place until the shoot comes up, and then I forgot about it. And what happens? Does that bulb develop? No, it doesn't grow in the dark. It has to be brought to the light. The light revives, the light renews. Light renews and revives all that it comes into contact with. Light revives heavy hearts. Some of you have heard tell of SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. What is that? Well, it is a real issue. It is when summer it is over and autumn and winter approaches with its short days and its long hours of darkness. Sometimes there are people and they're plunged into depression and cycles of despair. And many doctors believe that that's caused by a reaction of the brain to the reduced levels of sunshine and of light. Because light revives, light renews. We need the sunshine. We not just need the sunshine outside, we need the sunshine of Christ inside. Light brings with it heat. It brings with it growth. It will eventually assure a harvest. In a church, we need the light. We need more and more of Christ's presence. We need evidence of his power in the lives of individuals. If you as a Christian are hiding, as it were, your light under the bushel, it's no wonder things are not happening in your life and in your family as they ought to happen. It's the light of his presence that makes all the difference. Positive, we can say, light was never meant to be hidden. You don't turn the bulb on at night and then put a dark cloth around it. You put the bulb on so that it might dispel the darkness. And Jesus used this image of the light in the house. And that candle, it was not meant to be put under a bushel, a basket of some sort of a vessel that they could have put over it. You put it over it, what happens? You snuff it out. If you put a candle under such a thing, you'll snuff it out. And you hide the light, you snuff it out. We don't want to hide the light. We want to put the light on a stand. We want to put it where it's visible. We want to put it where it's seen. He used the illustration of the city set on a hill, probably Jerusalem, with all of its lights. It was not meant to be hidden. It was not meant to be concealed. And I said to every believer, every young believer, don't hide your light. When you go into work, make sure they know you're a Christian from day one. From day one, let your light shine. From day one, let your light shine. If you've been in your workplace and they still don't know you're a Christian, you've snuffed the light out. Let your light shine from tomorrow. Jesus is looking for you and I to shine in the darkness for him in this dark world. Without your light, without my light, this world is plunged into darkness. Amazing. You never thought you had such an influence, but you and your small corner and I and mine were bringing light to the darkness of the world. In closing, notice with me how diligent then we ought to be in maintaining our light. The lamps which would have been used in those homes of Palestine all of those years ago, they were a very simple affair, but they had to be maintained. If they weren't maintained, they would not have been effective, and they would not have been able to be used as they were used. The lamps needed oil within them. Jesus told the parable in Matthew chapter 25 of the five wise and five foolish virgins, and we know that story very well. It's a wonderful, powerful story. But the five foolish, it wasn't that they didn't have lamps. Oh, they had the lamp, but they didn't go out in the daytime and buy oil for the lamp. And then when the night time came, and when the bridegroom tarried, they had no oil in the lamp to go out to meet him. They were in the darkness. And constantly the oil needs to be replenished. You cannot run on yesterday's supplies. Why? Because you've used all of yesterday's supplies. You need fresh oil in the lamp every day. Your experience and my experience with God, it needs to be right up to date. The 13th of June 2021 needs to be right up to date. If you're running on yesterday's supply, your flame is soon going to go out. It's going to be very dim. If you're running on last week's supplies, you're in the darkness. The lamps needed to be set very carefully. If they were set in the wrong place, for example, they could be knocked over. They could be damaged. They could burn the house down. And that's why we read of the candlestick or the stand on which they were to be set. Be careful, Christian. I want to say this to you today. How you move and where you move. God put you in your small corner here and on alone to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't move from where he put you as a light unless he moves you. Don't move unless he moves you. Your light is needed in that little corner that he put you in. You've been put there to give light. The wick's needed to be daily trimmed. The wick, of course, was that part that went into the oil, and the oil sapped up, the wick sapped up the oil, and then the top of the wick was lit with a match or of some light of some form or nature. And those old-fashioned lamps, they needed maintenance. You needed to be careful that the edge on the top of the wick, that it remained clean and free from soot. I remember in my grandmother's home, those paraffin lamps. I remember the tilly lamp, and I remember the wick. And I remember she would have taken and she would have cleaned that wick, because if she hadn't have cleaned the wick, the lamp, the light that it would have been given out would have been sooty and would have been all smoky. And then the globe of the lamp, some of the older folk will remember it. If they're very honest, they'll remember it. And it'll give out a bad light. You know, I think that about many Christians today. They've never trimmed their lamps in years. And their light has become sooty. Their globe has never been washed down and shined up and polished so as to radiate the lamp. You know, that globe wasn't just meant to protect the flame. That globe was meant to radiate the light. They had no globes in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if that little wick that came out of the spout of that little lamp that they had wasn't trimmed and cleaned every day, what would happen? The soot would just spread out throughout all the room. There'd be no light. There'd just be smoke. There's some Christians like that. They're all smoke. They're no light. Maybe it's time you did some spiritual maintenance. Maybe that light is no longer clean and clear in your life. You need to deal with that which is hindering it. Sin hinders the light shining from our souls. Sin, just old-fashioned sin. Backslidings need to be dealt with. The only way to stop yourself backsliding is to fight backsliding. Naturally, we all would backslide. It's an inevitable result of living in this fallen world and battling with our fallen natures. In order to press on with God, you need to make sure that the light is trimmed every day. Every day. Every day you have to confess sin before God. Every day you have to right wrongs that are not right in the sight of God. Every day you have to make sure those interpersonal relationships that intertwine us all together, they're kept sweet. And they're kept clean. That prevents the sick from gathering. There's some people. And they're believers. They say they're believers. And they haven't spoken to people in their family for years. Oh, there might be 101 reasons because of that. I'm not the judge of the reasons. But I certainly know this. Those interpersonal relationships, those blowing up bridges instead of building bridges, what do? They only snuff out the light. You don't spread the light. Whatever it is today, believer, in your life, trim the lamp, trim the wick once again, and get the light brightly shining. That's the only way we'll see God's blessing. Old Jesse Ryle brings this whole a section to a wonderful conclusion in his commentary, and this is what he says. It is perfectly true and clear that Christianity is something more than being baptized and going to church. And whilst we believe in being baptized and whilst we believe in church attendance, it has to be something more. Salt and light evidently imply peculiarity, both of heart and life, of faith and practice. We must dare to be singular and unlike the world if we're meant to be saved. May that peculiarity of heart and life and faith and practice, may it be evident in all of our lives. May we not only be salt, but may we be something else than the salt. May we be the light. Remember what Jesus said. Take it home with you. Take it out into the week ahead with you. You are the light of this world. We're going to sing in closing that little hymn that I quoted earlier on. It is in our own hymn book. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light. We'll just remain seated again, then we'll pray as we conclude our service, and then we'd ask you all just to remain in your seats until the stewards indicate that it's your time to leave. Father and Thy in mine. Let's all please unite our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that You've placed us in a little corner to shine a light for the Lord Jesus Christ, to reflect His glory, His truth, and His message in this dark world of sin that we live in. Help us not to despise the little corner that You've given to us, but Lord, in our own sphere of life, wherever we are, at home, as a neighbour, as an employee, as an employer, as a student at school, at work or university, wherever it may be, Lord, we ask today that You'll help us to shine a light in the darkness for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we reflect the glory of Christ to those that live around us. Help us to maintain the light. Lord, we know there's a work to be done there. We pray You'll help us to trim those lamps, those wicks, Lord, that they might shine brighter for Thee. And forgive us, Lord, for allowing the soot to clog up the brightness. We pray today that You'll help us to deal with all known sin. And Lord, that You'll help us to shine brightly for Jesus Christ. Thank You for this time that You've given to us to spend in God's house today. As we take our leave of this building, we pray that Thou wilt take us back to our homes in safety. And with the blessing of Almighty God, and in Thy will and providences, we pray that Thou wilt be pleased to reunite us together again this evening. We pray this believing in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon thee and give thee peace this day and evermore. Amen.